The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Friday edition of the Leach Report as we wrap up the week. And today we've got a couple of player interviews from yesterday's media session with the returning Kentucky basketball players. P.J. Washington, Kwadi Green, Nick Richards, Jamal Baker were available for interviews yesterday. And we're going to play at least a couple of those for you today with P.J. and with Jamal Baker and give you a little flavor of what they had to say. We'll chat with TJ Beisner from CoachCal.com and talk about not only the session yesterday, but the series of articles they've had this week there in connection with Father's Day. I think the latest one's from Coach Cal's daughter, Megan. There was a neat one from Julius Mays earlier this week, too. So we'll talk about that and other things with TJ. Marty McGee will check in with the little discussion of a little Triple Crown wrap-up and talk about the big card tomorrow night at Churchill Downs and the appearance of the Triple Crown winner, Justify, for the crowd there. Not going to run, just going to parade for the crowd at Churchill tomorrow. Links to the stories that we talk about each day can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Let's get right to that Wildcat news of the day. It's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. The returning players yesterday did not give us any great pronouncements, any breaking news. It was just interesting to get some of their thoughts on the things they went through, such as PJ and the NBA, and played it pretty much just like he said he would. Did not get the first-round guarantee, so he's back. He said Cal's talked to him about showing more perimeter skills, and he talked about that was who he was in high school. So I think he can very capably do that, certainly at least the elbows and the free throw line to shoot there, if not the three-point line. And should have more flexibility to do that, especially if Kentucky lands Reed Travis. And PJ talked about, he didn't mention any names yesterday, but said that they could add a couple of more players would be great, but that they had the pieces that they needed to make a championship run as it is. But Ashton Hagans and Reed Travis are two guys that could well be guys that are not on the team now that could be starters. So that tells you the significance. Jamal Baker said he's 100% coming back from the knee injury, eager to get going, confident in his ability. Everybody's talked about the great shooter he is. I would watch him in practice. I mean, he is a sweet shot. And if you can knock down outside shots, you'll always have a chance to get some minutes. So I don't think he'll get lost in the shuffle if he can shoot like that. But it's going to be an interesting battle in the backcourt. He said he welcomes it. So did Kwadi Green. He said he'll play any position that is needed, even the four. I don't think they'll be calling on Kwadi to play the power forward position, but I like the attitude. He talked about that everybody on this team can shoot. He said he never considered transferring. He said he laughed at the one rumor that somebody floated about LaSalle because I think a former AAU or high school connection had gotten a job at LaSalle. Anyway, we'll hear some more from the guys coming up here in just a bit. New mock draft out from ESPN, and not a big mock draft fan, much like the way too early top 25s and the bracketologies a year out, all that kind of stuff. It's, I don't begrudge anybody doing it. It's if it gets you eyeballs and clicks, more power to you, but I just don't put much stock into it early. The closer you get to the draft, then I'll pay a little more attention to the mock drafts and that they at least might have some validity. So with that preface, I'll tell you that the latest one from ESPN, if this would play out for these Kentucky guys, I think it'd be great. They've got Kevin Knox projected up to number 9 now with the Knicks. We had heard that there was a positive buzz for Kevin through some of his workouts. So they've got him going 9th to the Knicks. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going 11th to Charlotte. That's just a tick or two higher than he had been in other projections I've seen. They've got Hami going 36th to the Knicks. I would love that for him. Love to see him get there with his hometown team. And Jared Vanderbilt, 46th to Houston. And if that came about, that could be a great spot because they've got the kind of power depth on their roster that they'd give him plenty of time to come along. And that could be a great situation. So for the Kentucky guys, I'd take that draft in a heartbeat. And there's also a report Wynyan Gabriel has workouts coming up for Charlotte, Philadelphia, and Detroit. Of course, Detroit's got Dwayne Casey as their new head coach, the former Wildcat. So hopefully Wynyan will, maybe he'll sneak in. Think about Wynyan, the size that he has and the length, and then shot nearly 40% from the three-point line. If he can shoot that way in the summer league, he'll at least catch somebody's attention. I don't think he's going to be in the league, but the thing for him would be to if he could get on somebody's attract some enough attention to get in the G League team with one of these teams that they're interested enough in following his development and keeping him around. So hopefully it works out well for him as well. And U.S. Open into day two up at Shinnecock. I've taken a look at what the weather's like today. It was really windy yesterday. Not many scores under par. Right now, the leaders are Dustin Johnson and Russell Henley. They're both playing. Johnson's through four, Henley's through nine, and they're both one under for the day and two under overall. Jason Duffner just got a bogey, so he slipped back to even par. So you got Scott Piercy and Ian Poulter, who are also at one under, tied for the lead after yesterday's round. They don't tee off until later, but you had some really high scores. I think Mickelson, Spieth, and McIlroy were in one grouping and a combined 25 over par in that group. Let's get to a break. When we come back, we'll hear from P.J. Washington and T.J. Beiser from CoachCal.com a little later on in this half hour. Guest lineup brought to you by Sleep Outfitters. We'll be right back on the Leach Report Radio Network. As I said, got a chance to talk to returning Kentucky basketball players yesterday, and so we're going to play you a couple of those interviews on the show today. We'll start now with P.J. Washington.
And how do you, Kentucky wanted you in the post to be a strong man, and you were very effective with that. So how do you try to balance that with, as you say, the NBA game doesn't feature that? It's not a main component.
I mean, I've been playing basketball for a long time, like I said earlier. So, I mean, in high school and stuff like that, I've been playing on the perimeter, so I'm pretty used to it. My senior year, I did a lot of that, which you guys didn't really get to see. So, I mean, I'm pretty confident in my abilities. And like I said, I've been working on it, and I've been trusting my work. So that doesn't really stress me at all.
You brought the ball up, right, in high school? You kind of, as a point guard, I don't know, is that overstating it, or is point guard, yeah?
No.
So how big of an adjustment was it to go from point guard to low post strong man?
I mean, it wasn't an adjustment because, like I said, I've been playing basketball a long time. So, I mean, I've been playing a lot of
same
positions.
Answer for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically you asked the same question. So. Nah, but like I've been playing a lot of positions. I know what to do in different positions, so I'm really comfortable.
How was the surgery, and what's the prognosis there?
Oh, it went well. I feel like I'm doing a lot better than what I was. I just have to go in today and get it checked out, and then I should get it off by mid-July, so I should be ready for the Bahamas.
What'd you get out of the NBA combine process and workouts and all of that?
A lot of knowledge. I feel like other teams were being honest with me. A lot of great things I heard and a lot of bad things I heard. So, I mean, just had to come in there and just work on the bad things and improve on those. And like I said, just come in every day with the same mindset and bringing energy. Like,
what were the bad things?
The bad things? They weren't really bad things. They were just things I need to improve on. So, I mean, just coming in here and just working on that.
Cal mentioned at one of his camps that he got back on the lose weight kick again. How much weight do you think he wants you to lose? What's a realistic thing there?
Well, right now I'm 225, and at the combine they said I was 6% body fat. So I don't really think I need to lose that much weight. So if anything, I need to gain a little bit more weight just to play down low. So. That's the biggest thing for me, just focusing on my body, just eating right and stuff like that.
That does seem kind of counterproductive for you to lose weight, but also play in the post and bang and do. How much does weight help in that in that part of the game?
I mean, in the SEC, there's a lot of big guys, a lot of big guys down low. Everybody's strong. Everybody's athletic. Everybody can play. So, I mean, you just got to be in there with the same mindset every day, just energy, and then coming in here and working on your body, just getting right, eating right, and just being focused. So that's the biggest thing with me body-wise, and that's what I've just been trying to do.
What did Cal talk to you about as far as hitting your goals and team goals for the season?
He just said, let's go do it. And then he says, go out, let's lead these young guys and basically get a lot of wins this season and have a good year.
You at the combine, you made it sound pretty simple. If you're projected as a first rounder, you'll stay in. If not, you'll come back. How much did you vary off of that, or was that pretty much the formula?
I'm here, so I mean, simple as that. I mean, I feel like I should have came back, and that's what I did.
What I said, he was mentally tougher at this point right now than he was at this time last year. What about you?
I definitely feel the same way. Cal has definitely pushed me to be a lot more mentally tough, especially the whole last year. We had a lot of ups and downs. Towards the beginning of the season, I didn't really play too well. And I just had to stay mentally tough, get stronger on my body and my mind. So, I mean, I feel like I did that. And I ended up playing a lot better towards the end of the season. So I just got to come in here and just keep the same mental.
How much different does it feel? Because last year there was a lot of hand-wringing over who would be the leader. Now you and Quade are back, and it sort of seems like a different vibe around this team.
It just feels a lot different. I mean, there's a lot of new guys, a lot of different guys. Everybody else, we're a lot more in the gym this year. Everybody else more focused. Everybody knows what goes around here. So, I mean, everybody just comes in and try to stay ready for the next moment. And I feel like if you keep doing that, like I said, we'll be fine. We'll win a lot of games, and that's the main focus here.
How much of a better shooting team will this year be? Quade said last year, yeah, we weren't really good top to bottom. What have you seen now?
What I've seen, we have a lot of shooters. Jamal, Tyler, Quade, Quickly. Kelton can shoot a little bit. So, I mean, we have a lot of guys that can stretch and shoot the ball. So that should be one of our strengths this year, shooting the ball. And I'm confident in making shots, so we'll be all right.
PJ, what are your impressions of the new guys? I know you probably haven't played with them very much, but just watching them in the moment.
Well, I've known some of them since, like, AAU, so I've known Quick. I played with him. So, I mean, he's really good. All the guys are pretty, really good. So, I mean, they play a lot of basketball. They get in here. They focus on their games. They work on their stuff. So, I mean, if they keep that same mental, they'll be all right this season. And I feel like you got to be mentally tough.
And EJ in particular fits in with what you and Nick kind of bring to those post positions right now?
EJ is very versatile. He can do a lot of things on the court. He can dribble, he can shoot, he can pass. So, I mean, just having that as with a big guy down there really helps us. Yeah, he can pick and pop. So if Quade comes out of the screen, he picks and pops and shoots a three, I feel like that's going to be helping us a lot. I mean, a lot of guys can't really do that in this conference. So just having a guy like that is really going to be helpful.
PJ Washington from yesterday's media session. A little later, we'll hear from Jamal Baker, but right now we need to get to a break. TJ Beisner from CoachCal.com standing by. When we return, it's the Leach Report Radio Network. Twenty-four after the top of the hour on this Friday edition of our shows, we welcome in TJ Beisner with CoachCal.com. And wanted to get him on to talk about a really neat series of stories that have been on the site this week about Father's Day, which we will get to in a second. But first, the media session yesterday, TJ, anything that was particularly noteworthy to you that you heard from any of the guys?
Well, you know, I think part of what was happening, I've had the good fortune of being around the guys now for a couple of weeks, and I haven't seen them play, but just seeing them interact with each other and getting to know each other, and I came away, I feel like Quade Green is just different. I know there was a lot made in the offseason about whether he'd come back and, if he was going to be here, and there's competition now potentially at his spot, how that's going to shape up. But Quade, to me, came back confident, just as you want a sophomore to do. He feels more prepared. He feels ready for this season and more confident in his abilities, but also his ability to lead and really reach out to his teammates. So I talked to him a little bit about that, and PJ also shared that opinion, Jamal Baker, and then Nick Richards told me he's the same guy, he's just not as fat as he was last year. So maybe I could be off on that based on Nick Richards, but Quade, to me, is more confident, more ready to lead this team, which is a great sign.
Yeah, he came in with that rep of being a leader and a gatherer, but I would imagine that was somewhat impacted by the way the season unfolded for him, given he had a couple of different physical issues to deal with.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the numbers, you know, as far as just freshmen go, nationally and historically, he had a pretty good season. 9 points a game, 3 assists a game. But in terms of the high bar that has been set at Kentucky for really great freshman players, it really wasn't on that level, which is fine. That just means he has an opportunity to come back and do something this season. So I think part of his struggles were, as you said, the inconsistency. He had, you know, some injuries early in the season. He was moved around. Once Shea was the primary point guard, he played off the ball. And I think it's just a lot of adjustment for him. And finding what that role is, which could be different than how they do things this season, it might be similar. You know, we might see him doing a number of different things once the team gets out on the floor. I think for him, just having the mental maturity to understand, I'm ready to do what they need me to do, and I'm confident in whatever that role might be for this team, that's a good sign, especially at this point in the season when you're trying to incorporate what is basically an entirely new team onto the floor, that you got games coming up in about a month. So I think this is a team that needs that, and if Kwadi is willing to be that guy, that's a real good sign.
From the short time you've been around some of the new guys, anything about anybody's personality that's stood out to you?
Well, I think overall they're just a fun group. You know, I think this team is getting along together well. The mixing of guys that have been here, guys that are just arriving, I think they get along well. And we've kind of helped through the course on campus. They've got camps going on. Been traveling the state to these satellite camps together and interacting with kids, and also, you know, spending time together in the car. And they're now, we saw Justify, went to Churchill Downs the other day, so they were on the bus together. So this is a group that I think, especially the newcomers, personality-wise, they're built for Kentucky. They're not shying away from anything that's going to come with it, the media obligations, the fan obligations, the pressure when the season gets here. I think this is a group that, from a personality standpoint, is very much built for this, and I think they're having fun so far. I mean, this seems like it's going to be a group that, you know, things go well, they're going to win a lot of games, which is the plan, of course, but I think fans are really going to like them and identify with them and enjoy it. And if they don't, then I'm going to be in trouble, because that's my job. So hopefully that is what happens over the course of the season.
You mentioned the interaction with the Triple Crown winner. They got Elliott Walden brought them down from Windstar to see Justify at Churchill Downs, and it had to be. Tell me what it was like being around that, because I imagine there was a little uneasiness, I would imagine, from guys who probably have not spent any time around horses.
Yeah, there was a little bit. And what was funny is, you know, camp was going on, the overnight camp was going on, so the guys were over there with the kids working with them. And I went over there with Cal for a little bit before everybody left to go to Louisville. And so I just kind of was feeling them out. Just wanted to say, hey, you guys excited to go see the horse? And, also, I felt like it was my duty to warn them to wear shoes that you could wear on the backside of Churchill Downs. Because, you know, they all have these nice shoes that they take great pride in keeping clean. None of them have been in a barn area. So I was trying to give them a heads up on that.
About 30 seconds here.
I was a dad at that point. Yeah. So I was amazed. They were all really excited, because you never know with kids. Like, hey, we're going to go do this. And Johnny David was the most excited out of all of them. I mean, he was so pumped to go see him. So once we got there, everybody, you know, was looking forward to it. But there was a little bit of nervousness, because Justify is a really big animal. And so he came out. He took a little, you know, Johnny had to break the ice. Cal broke the ice. And then one
hang
by
on
one
to that. Got a break here real quick. We'll pick up on that when we come back with T.J. Beisner on the Leach Report.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
T.J. Beisner's with us from CoachCal.com. And let's get back to the Justify story. You were talking about Johnny David, the most excited to see the horse.
Yeah, and he was the one that kind of broke the ice when we got there. Everybody was, Cal looked at him and said, hey, okay, who wants to go and who wants to pet the horse? And it was just looks all around, because no one knew really what to do. Most of them, it was the first time they've ever been around a horse in their entire life. It just happened to be a Triple Crown winner. And so, you know, Cal broke the ice, and then Johnny broke the ice, and one by one, they went up there. Emmanuel quickly really, really liked it. And so the guys got a chance to get their picture with the horse. Then some of them went over and got to feed some carrots once he was back in his, back in the barn. So it was fun. It was neat. And to hear them afterwards, not just it was cool to go to Churchill Downs and see a horse, but the historical significance, understanding what it meant. Cal talked to them a little bit about that, and Elliott Walden explained, you know, an undefeated horse, what it means, a 13th Triple Crown winner. And so it was neat to see them embrace that. And I think that's something that, is unique to Kentucky, obviously, but that's something that Cal, I think, really prioritizes. This is going to be about basketball, about more than basketball while you're here. And there's not always a Triple Crown winner, but there are other things, other opportunities to learn and experience things. And that's something that's different about Kentucky. I think the aim here is to make it about more than just the basketball. And so it was fun to be a part of that the other day.
Well, let's shift gears to the Father's Day series. Really some neat pieces. You've got one with Julius Mays, one with Mark Krebs, one, and then one each with Cal's two daughters, Dr. Ellen Calipari, or Dr. Erin Calipari, and Megan Calipari. So tell me what were the stories that were the most poignant to you that came out of this?
Well, you know, I think it started off with Julius, and I did not realize Julius Mays, for people that maybe didn't see the story on Monday, he was a father while he was at the University of Kentucky. And anyone who has been in college knows how hard that is. Anybody who's been a father knows how hard it is. So to do those two things at the same time while also playing basketball as a part of that season where there were struggles, a lot of pressure, and a lot of disappointment. I think that it was very interesting to hear him. You know, the stuff that's on the website was just a portion of our conversation. The way that these things kind of went together is, aside from Cal's daughters who wrote theirs on their own, I just talk with the players and we, you know, go through fatherhood and their experiences and we kind of write it together. And for Julius, the recruiting process was about the school where he, of course, have an opportunity to show himself as a basketball player, but he was interviewing coaches about, is this a school that's going to embrace me as a dad? Are you going to let me be a father, the father I want to be? And so his daughter at the time was not yet born. When he committed to Kentucky, they said, we're committed to that. We want you to be there when your daughter's born. We want you to be as involved as you can be with her while meeting these obligations here. We support you in that. And that was important to him. And so in November when they played, I believe it was Long Island, I'd have to go back and look. He had a pretty good game. Kentucky wins by 30 points. As soon as the game ends, he has a message that his girlfriend, his now wife, is in labor. He gets in the car, drives 3.5 hours. She was in Indiana. Drives 3.5 hours and is there for the birth of his daughter, holds her in his arms, and gets to spend time with her. The staff was supportive of that, and he was able to get back to school. And no one knew. I mean, no one outside of the building knew. And to hear that, to then learn about what it was like then and also now, he gave up basketball. He was playing and decided it was too hard on his family, and he wanted to be there with his kids because that was not something he was able to experience with his father. And he gave up basketball. And now he says it's the best thing he's ever done. He's home every day with his kids after school when they come home. You know, he's got a job that he likes. And that's been fun. And we've got one going up today that is, I will guarantee, 100% going to make people cry. And we'll see who it's with. Well, it's with Darius Miller. I'll just tease that. Darius Miller and I worked on something, who he's a father now as well. And if you've been around him at any point, he loves talking about his kids. So that one is going up today, and then hopefully a couple more this week. You might have a couple of surprises over the weekend leading up to Father's Day.
Cool. Watch for that at CoachCal.com. It's really good stuff. I enjoyed reading the Cal's two daughters, and just, you know, they're like him in that they kind of shoot straight with you.
Yes, they are very much like him. In fact, everybody who, when I said I was doing this, everybody around the building said, "Oh, they're just like him. They are just like him." And so, yeah, it was a good perspective on. You know, the thing for me, fatherhood is different. There are no two fathers that are alike, and there are people that don't grow up with their biological father. They're raised by a step-parent. Some people are only raised by their mom, or you have a coach who's a mentor. Fatherhood means so many different things, and that was the goal, to kind of capture that in this, just to see how it's an experience through the UK basketball program. And hopefully, you know, I talk to a lot of guys. You know, when you work with basketball players, you have to get like 15 commitments to get 5 of them actually done. So hopefully after this year, after we have these done, the other guys are a little more comfortable or understand what it is, and we can share some more of those stories, you know, around this time next year as well.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've enjoyed it. I'm guessing you'll be doing this around, you know, Mother's Day, and and I guess that's kind of part of what you're trying to do in this role is give us a little different insight and view of some of these guys beyond just as basketball players or basketball daughters in Megan and Dr. Calipari's cases.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know this because you're around this team so much and have been for so long. To me, I really like seeing, Darius has a camp every summer in Maysville. I love seeing Darius with his dad. You know, he and his dad are really close. I love seeing them interact, and then Darius's kids with, and him with his wife. Like, that's stuff that's cool because I remember him as a college student. And to see, when DeMarcus Cousins is putting stuff on social media about his son and then Bragg and Eric Bledsoe, all of these things are cool to me because I remember them when they were kids and they arrived on campus. And that's the part of it that I think my goal is to really, put people in touch with the team while they're here. We really want you to identify with these guys and get to know them, but then not lose sight that they're more than just a guy that's able to basketball when they're here. They have lives, they're families, they have, many of them other careers that are not, well, maybe not too many of them under Calipari, careers that are not basketball, but, those are the things that we want to make sure that their experience here at Kentucky is designed through Coach Cal to shape them the rest of their lives. And the relationship with Coach Cal and the coaches here, it doesn't end when the playing time is done. And that's something that we just want to celebrate and capture because this place is special to all of Kentucky fans, and it's special to me. It is special to everyone, including these players. And that's something that we really want to drive home and let people experience those connections and hopefully still love these guys the same when they're 30 as they did when they were 18 and 19.
It's really good stuff, and you can go read it at CoachCal.com and look for the ones that are coming up today and leading up to Father's Day on Sunday. Thanks, TJ.
All right, thank you, Tom.
18 away from the top of the hour, it's the Leach Report Radio Network. Quick break, and back to hear from Jamal Baker on the Leach Report. Quarter before the top of the hour on this Friday edition of the Leach Report, let's hear from another player out of yesterday's media session, Jamal Baker.
How do you feel as far as, you've been through knee issues and everything? You feeling good now?
Yeah, I feel great. Feel great. Better than ever.
Good. Yeah. Good. So what are you doing here in the summer?
Right now we're just conditioning, working out in the weight room and getting shots up. That's about it. And our off time, just doing things we love to do.
So tell me about meeting the Triple Crown winner. Saw those pictures. What was that like?
Oh, that was great. I don't know much about horse racing or anything like that, but I knew the horse was beautiful and it was pretty big and ripped too. So it was a good experience.
How was the knee? How hard has it been to get it back to where you wanted it?
It was definitely tough to get it back. It's something that I hadn't ever been through before, but I enjoyed the process and I just got to look at basketball in a different perspective. So now I'm just ready to go and I'll be better this year.
What was enjoyable about the process?
Just being able to watch practice, watch the games, just being able to experience everything from from the front row seat. So it was just goodness prepared me.
I was thinking about the rehab probably wasn't too enjoyable.
No, not too much, but I had to get through it.
At what point did you go from in October you thought, okay, it's going to be not too big a deal, I'm going to get fixed. And when did you get to the point that you knew, okay, this is going to be a lot more serious than what I thought?
I guess after surgery, my knee was my whole leg was really little. So I just knew it was going to be like a whole big process for me to even just get strength back in my leg. And the first month or so, it didn't feel like I was getting, it was getting too big. So I just knew it was going to take a little bit.
Are you 100% right now?
Yes, now I am.
And for sure. Do you still kind of have the same confidence you did before? Or is that kind of still working its way back?
Yeah, no, I feel great. I've been working out ever since I've been back, and my shot feels good, my game feels good, so I'm just ready to get out there to play.
There's a lot of guards on this team. Does that excite you as a competitor? Worry you for playing time? Where do you stand?
I'm excited. You come to Kentucky, you're going to have to compete. There's guys coming in every year, so it's not a big deal to me. I love to compete, and that's why I'm here.
Did you kind of jump up and down when you saw where Coach Calipari was talking about he wanted shooters at every place on the court this year? He's really going to emphasize shooting. Mm-hmm. That make you just kind of want to jump up and down and say, send me in?
Yeah, for sure. That's why I came here last year, and just unfortunately I wasn't able to do it, but I'm just really excited for this year, really excited to play, and excited to help the team win.
I mean, but usually he talks about he wants length, defensive guys, versatility. Now all of a sudden he's talking shooting, which is right down your alley, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I feel like I can do just about everything that he wants me to do, and I'm excited.
I think it was Shea who might have tweeted, you're the best shooter he's ever played with. I mean, does that kind of Are you ready to show everyone that might not have seen you before?
Yeah, I'm ready to show everybody everything that I can do. I feel like I'm more than just a shooter, but I shoot the ball really well. And I'm just excited to get out there and play and just help the team win and try to compete for a national championship.
How much did you learn while having to sit out and being able to, now all of a sudden you're one of the guys that's been around, and as far as teaching the young guys what you learned?
I learned a whole lot. It just, as far as like, just from an intensity standpoint, from just Cal just pushing everybody in practice and how hard the practice is work. Everything like that just went into how hard you have to work, and everything like that is just going into what I know I have to do, and just trying to, I guess, help the young guys understand too.
Was shooting always your best attribute?
When I was little, I really went to the basket a lot. I drove to the basket and finished a lot, but as I started to get older, my dad could shoot it really well. He taught me how to shoot, and ever since then, shooting has just been...
Anybody you model your shot or your game after growing up that you liked as a NBA guy or something?
I don't think I model my game after anybody. I like to take like little pieces of everybody's game and just see what it can help my game. So other than that, just my dad just helping me with my shot and just helping me try to perfect it as best I can.
How big is a year of experience in this program for the four of you guys sitting here today?
It's great. It's going to get us ready. And that's, like I said, I want to compete for a national championship. I want to win a national championship, not just compete for one.
We know about your shooting, but what other kind of parts of your game might surprise people, or where are the places you've kind of worked on improving?
Defending. I feel like I'm a good defender. And just I don't really like to talk about it. I just like to go out there and show it. So when the games come, and I guess the first game's in the Bahamas, then I'll show everybody what I can do.
Are you 100%?
Yes, right now? For sure.
Do you feel like you made a lot of improvement in practice last year?
Well, I wasn't even really able to practice much at all. Okay. Yeah, just trying to get my leg and my knee right, and just being off for a long time. When I tried to get back to playing, my body would tighten up, things like that. But now that I'm able to play, I'm feeling really well.
Jamal Baker from yesterday's media session. Our guest lineup here on the show today and every day is presented by Sleep Outfitters. Summer savings deals are still going on. They didn't end with Memorial Day, and you don't have to wait until July 4th to get them. The summer savings event is continuing at your local Sleep Outfitters store. You can get things like a free HD TV up to 55 inches with any mattress purchase over $499. That's only at Sleep Outfitters. How about a new Tempur-Pedic? Purchase that mattress and get an immediate in-store rebate, or $300 toward a new power base. And you'll love those adjustable base units. Sleep Outfitters has financing plans for every budget. So get to the store nearest you. Go online to sleepoutfitters.com, find out where it is, and then get in to check out the great deals and the great products they have at Sleep Outfitters. We'll be right back to talk to Marty McGee. Big night of racing at Churchill Downs tomorrow with five graded stakes, headlined by the Grade 1 Stephen Foster Handicap. But you will also be able to see the Triple Crown winner, Justify, who will be coming over, I think, when the horses come over for the third race. Marty McGee joins us from the Daily Racing Form, DRF.com. Marty, you and I are old enough to remember the 70s. Secretariat won the Triple Crown after a long drought, and then 4 years later, this undefeated Triple Crown winner, Seattle Slough, came along. And nobody was ever going to be the same as Secretariat, but he didn't seem to capture the public's attention in the same way, and didn't seem to maybe get the full respect he was due until later in his racing career. Justify is not going to run that long, but do you see any similarities with this second Triple Crown winner 3 years after American Pharoah? What will Justify's place in history be, do you think?
You know, I hadn't heard it couched that way, but that's a good idea, Tom. I do sense perhaps not quite the same degree of enthusiasm for Justify that there was for American Pharoah, but that's only understandable and natural because, you know, American Pharoah entered a 37-year drought, whereas, yeah, as you said, you know, it came relatively quickly in the same way that Seattle Slough did. But nonetheless, tomorrow night at Churchill, we will have a very appreciative crowd, one that we'll be adoring Bob Baffert and Mike Smith and all the rest in the aftermath of what happened last Saturday. It can't be understated what a feat this was, and not only him being the second ever unbeaten horse to sweep the Triple Crown, but the fact that it was accomplished in such a way that it ended the Apollo streak and all that. So it's going to happen early here tomorrow night, Tom. It, like you said, before the third race. So, you know, given the parking problems that can occur at Churchill on a big night like this, I would encourage anybody who's intending to be here for this to get here as early as you can.
Is it, here's another analogy across another sport. I think of this horse a little like to put this provincially, like an Anthony Davis, who accomplished a tremendous amount in his one season here, led Kentucky to a championship, defensive player of the year, national player of the year, et cetera, et cetera. But he wasn't nearly as accomplished a player as he has become now, where he's a guy who can score 50 points in a playoff game. You know, Justify hasn't broken any watches in the times of his races, hasn't won by, you know, devastating margins like, you know, Secretary or some others did. But part of that is that he wasn't as developed when he's gone through this process as some of those other horses were, right?
Well, that's true. And, you know, even looking back at Seattle Slough, who did he beat? He beat Run Dusty Run and Iron Constitution and, you know, horses that we've never really, you don't really remember. And the same here with Justify. I mean, I know coming into the Derby, we were talking about how deep it was and all this with the Audible and Bolt Doro and all them, but they've all kind of fallen by the wayside. I mean, it ended up that Gronkowski and Bravazo were his main challengers, you know, as it ended up. So we would all like to see Justify run next year as a four-year-old and become the Anthony Davis of the NBA, as you're saying, but that's not going to happen. I think what's... They have stated, Elliot Walden and all the rest of the owners and Baffert have said they would like to come back here at Churchill on November 3rd for the Breeders' Cup Classic. How they get there is still to be decided. You know, I was looking back at the American Pharoah path, and he ran in the Haskell and won that, ran in the Travers, got beat, and then he didn't run for the 2 months. It was 2 months from the Travis, yeah, to the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland. Of course, he won that easily to complete the so-called Grand Slam. But
be fun to see him back here, though.
Yeah, it would be fun to see him back. And they're talking about maybe doing that same thing.
Leach Report. Make sure you,
Marty, thank you much. We're out of time, unfortunately. I'll see you tomorrow night. Marty McGee, DRF.com. You can read all his coverage about the big card at Churchill Downs tomorrow. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy Father's Day.
LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on...